It has been said that perspective is everything. And for those of us who've lived a little bit of time, we've probably found that old adage to hold some truth. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, what the last 3 days had to be like in the experience of Mary Magdalene and the other disciples of Jesus. At some point, each of them gave up whatever stability their lives held for them. Job, family, comfort. In the last 3 odd years, they've been following this amazing teacher and healer. They've seen the impossible happen before their eyes. The blind have been made to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. And more than that, they've witnessed a sort of loving invitation to all that they could never have before even dreamed. And then the worst happened. The love that filled every moment of every day was met face to face with hatred. A hatred that could not be overcome. A hatred that demanded death. And so the one that they had put all their hopes and dreams and expectations into, the one they believed to be the Messiah, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, is dead. And that was that. All their hopes and dreams for the future of the world and hope of redemption died on a cross between 2 common criminals on a day just like any other and unlike any other. The men feared for their lives. If Jesus could so easily be put to death, what could prevent them from being next? The women did what women always do, and they took care of what needed to be done. They wept by the cross and later went to the tomb to go through the burial rituals. And when Mary Magdalene approached Jesus' tomb to perform the ritual acts, she went with a heavy heart. She had seen the limp body of Jesus on the cross and knew that he, along with all her hopes for the future, had died. Her perspective was just that. Jesus was dead, and death is final. So when Mary arrived and found the stone rolled away from the mouth of the cave in which Jesus was buried, she assumed that someone had stolen his body in an even more hateful act of injustice. She could not perceive of the notion that something else might have taken place. Why would she? In keeping with typical first century convention, Mary went to get the men to verify what she had experienced. And when Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, presumably John, heard what Mary had to say, they had a foot race to see who would make it back to the tomb quicker, still trying to best each other. Some traits are seemingly impossible to change no matter the circumstances. Peter and John reached the tomb and verified that what Mary had said was in fact true, and they go home. And Mary is left there alone and weeping. She doesn't leave. She stays there, devastated. And yet she looks into the tomb one more time, not willing to believe that what her eyes had seen only a moment before. And the perspective of all the characters in this scene is this: dead is dead, final is final. Someone has taken the body of Jesus, continuing the horribleness of the last few days. It just goes from bad to worse even. Nothing good can possibly come now. In the very popular Broadway musical from a few years back, Rent, there's a song, Seasons of Love, and a year in that song is measured by 525,600 minutes. And a life should be measured in love. And in the perspective of those closest to Jesus, the life that has most fully been measured in love has now been extinguished. Nothing worse can happen, with the possible exception of the loss of their own lives, which is, again, their perspective. And it is all about perspective. And at the same time, we see, with any clarity at all, through the witness of those who were closest to Jesus and through those who have gone before, and maybe even from the experience of our own lives, how failed our perspective can be. We, like the followers of Jesus, think we have the sum total of all knowledge. We believe that our perspective is the final word, that just because we think it, whatever it is, our perspective is truth. And if we open our eyes and minds and hearts, what is revealed is that our perspective is often, if not always, short-sighted, or even, God forbid, wrong. Think about that for a minute. Let it settle into your bones. Maybe, just maybe, your perspective is not the end-all be-all. Perhaps there is something bigger and more important and more right and true than our own individual perspectives. Perhaps the information that we have or think we have in any given moment is only a glimpse of a bigger truth. As Christians, I believe we must step outside of ourselves and live into the reality that our much coveted and relied on perspective is just a dot on the matrix, that God has the full picture and we do not. No matter how brilliant or right or true or earnest or patriotic or any of those values we want to hang our hat on, we do not have the whole picture. Our perspective is skewed. God's world and God's dealing in and with the world is far bigger than our perspective. Our culture, especially right now, would tell us that sheer will of force and arrogance will persevere and inform our perspective in any way that it needs to be informed. As followers of Christ, the one to inform and shape us is the one who died in love and rose again, beating down and reshaping all the preconceived perspectives. Recently, I listened to a book on Audible that was very much outside my literary norm. And in stepping out of my norm, I was met with a word that had perhaps been on my SAT list of words to memorize, but had long since been lost. Perspicacious is the word. It's a great word, and it's hard to use in a sentence as often as did the author of the Leviathan trilogy. As you no doubt have noted, perspicacious has the same prefix as perspective. The end of the word makes all the difference, perhaps now more than ever. Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Her perspectives informed her that Jesus was dead and no other eventuality was possible. She went to those she trusted, hoping for some solace or understanding or support, and found none. They once again deserted. No one was open to new learning. No one was perspicacious. They were just stuck in their perspective, stuck in death, and not open to life. And yet, the whole while, they were stuck in their grief and stuck in their perspective of what should be, had to be, and on, Jesus had beaten death and was raised from the perspective that kept him down. To be perspicacious is to be open to new learning, to have a ready understanding of things, to be sharp, alert, acute, clever, and wise. It seems in some ways that to be perspicacious is the opposite of what we in our culture now understand about perspective. It's been said, too, what a difference a day makes. And there may be no time that is more true than that, than the time between Good Friday and Easter morning. And yet, it is still all about perspective. God's plan for salvation was true and is true from the beginning to the end. Whether we believe that or perceive that or acknowledge that or not is irrelevant. God is working God's purpose out, in spite of us or along with us. And this is the day that we are given to witness that there are no barriers to God, and our perspective so often falls short. Let us strive to be perspicacious. Amen.